We're looking at Psalm 107. What we're doing is we're continuing our message from the psalm that we started last week, and we'll finish up today. I've entitled this, The God of Redemption. Go ahead and grab your outline. I'm going to kind of walk through the outline, get to where we ended last week, so it's kind of helpful to look at, have that in hand with you. Like I said, I'm just going to walk through the front side of a review of the first message, then continue on through our outline with the pictures of God's redemption, and we're going to get into those a little more today. Just a good word from God on that. Now, Psalm 107 is about the God of redemption. We looked at that. God is a redeeming God. Like it says in Psalm 103, verse 4, it says, God is a God that redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. So God is a God who redeems and saves. He rescues us and delivers us from sin slavery, from being held in sin's bondage. You know, that's just a simple statement of the doctrine of redemption. You know, I taught a lot on it last week on what it meant to be redeemed, that kind of thing. But a simple statement on the doctrine of redemption is that God redeems, God saves, He rescues and delivers you from sin slavery and being held in sin's bondage. Redemption, redeeming you. Verse 1 through 3 of the psalm tells us that we're to be grateful for that, that what God has done in all of that. We're to give thanks for His redemption. We should say so. Look at it with me, verse 1 through 3. The psalmist writes, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." So God is doing this. He's redeeming. We're to say so. Our lives are to say so. I think maybe one of the most important things we looked at last week is that not that just our words would say so, to say that the Lord is good. And the Lord's loving kindness is upon us, and His loving kindness is the mercy of God, the love of God, and the kindness of God to lead us to repentance. We looked at all that last week, to love us, to send His only begotten Son, to die on a cross, pay the penalty of our sin, give us the kindness that is so we can lead us to repentance, and the mercy we don't receive what we deserve. We receive the grace of God through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to say that, but we need to say it with our lives. And that kind of got brought out today in what we're talking about. Very important that we say this with the way we live, and we say this with our words. We say that God is good in relation to redemption. We say that God is God's loving kindness, His love toward us, His kindness toward us, His mercy toward us is everlasting. It's never failing. It's never even fading. It's always there. It's the grace and mercy and love and all the things of God that we would recognize in that. And we should say so with our words and with the way we live. That's what a heart of gratitude is. A heart of gratitude lives a certain way in its life. It's grateful for the things. Ken, thank you for encouraging us in what you shared with us just in what God was showing you. Yes, we want God to protect the things that we have here and pray for them, but ultimately, redemption is a lot bigger than the things that we have. And we ought to say so by the way we live and speak. And we looked at that last week. And I'm to be grateful for His redeeming love and kindness and mercy toward me. I'm to be grateful for His rescue and deliverance from sin's slavery, from sin's destruction, sin's deception, sin's direction. I'm to be grateful all the time, very often, constantly, for His salvation's redemption, for His daily rescue of my life, straying from Him. Tony, thank you for encouraging us today in that. Because that's the redeeming God does that, doesn't He, in our life? You know, we wander, we stray, we do the things, if we're not committed to His word, in His word, those kind of things, we do that. And then God rescues us from that, just by the work of the Spirit, just in you encouraging us today, and that we can get into a Bible study and help, and God will help us in the things in our life, rescue, redeem us from the sin that is so prevalent sometimes in our life. Yes, God redeems you from the pit of hell, from the judgment of eternal death, but God continues to be a God of redemption in the life of His people and redeems and rescues us from the pit of sin, doesn't He? We kind of began to look at that last week somewhat. It's by His divine power that He redeems. It's by the wonders of Him, His wonderful acts of redemption He rescues. He does that in my life and leads me away from sin, that way of life, for the way that God has for me. Because He is a God of redemption, and we looked at all of that. So we're kind of reviewing what it's beyond me, it's beyond us to do this without Him. It's about what God has done and what He is doing in this world. And last week we began to look at four pictures from the psalmist of God's redemption in this psalm. And we looked at it from the perspective of being his people, from being the follower of Christ, that he's redeeming us from these things that are in here. He redeems our life from the wandering away from him. He redeems our life from suffering and sin's consequences. He redeems our life from the rebellion, that when we rebel against his way, and he redeems us, rescues us, delivers us when we seek to live worldly. He's continually doing that in the life of the believer. He's continuing to do that as we seek after him. And that's what the psalmist is pointing out as we look at these four different pictures of redemption. Yes, he's pointing out that he redeems from the pit of hell, like I said, and brings you from sin's slavery into reconciliation with the Lord. But the psalmist is talking really, in a sense, with God's people, and where they have these things that go on in their life, that they get away from the Lord in that sense, and that God rescues, delivers them from that when you come to the Lord and cry out to him. It's kind of been the theme as we've been talking about today. I've been watching this as the Lord has been doing this. And let me just tell you a couple of things. All of us, every one of us, at times, some many times, need the Lord to rescue us in many ways. Is that a good place for an amen? Let's just think about your life. Been encouraged about that today. Who's the one by his power? It's not by our power, it's by him. We just repented. We're just coming to him. God rescues us from these things in our life. Let me ask you, what Christian in this room is going to say, no, God never had to redeem me from wandering away from him, his word, and his church? Any Christian going to say that today? We're not going to say that, are we? Because in this life with the Lord, this is the work that God is doing in our life. We're still learning sanctification, learning how to do these things. God is at work in our life. Or what Christian is going to say, never had to rescue me, the Lord, from a rebellious spirit of pride and arrogance? Like I know better than God. What Christian could say that? What Christian could say he never redeems me from sin, suffering, and sin? That's when you stay in sin and you're living in the consequences of sin and you just stay there. And who hasn't seek God to rescue him from that? Or who's going to say that God never had to rescue me from being worldly or earthly or building my own kingdom or thinking I'm the lead player in the drama of life and all of this world revolves around me and my family and my work and my success? None of us would say that. In his gracious, loving kindness, care, God redeems us from these things that are in our heart and mind that aren't to be there, that's at the wrong path for us. All of us have recognized that God and God alone, maybe it was through the Holy Spirit and his word. Maybe it's through the preaching and teaching of God's word. Maybe it's through the church family, a brother or sister. God has redeemed us in areas of our life where we needed it. It's good to remember, it's not condemnation, it's glory, it's great, it's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that that's who you are. What if he just left us where we're at? What if he didn't care, he didn't have any concern, he didn't have people around you that loved you, he didn't have his word speak to your heart, if he didn't have anything to bring you out of the places that he knows aren't good for you? No, he's not that kind of God, is he? By his divine power, he does wonders in our life. The psalmist is giving us four pictures of that. Number one, we looked at last week, redemption for the wanderer. Look at verse 4 and 5 with me, verse 4 and 5. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in the desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty, for their soul fainted within them. What it is you're looking for a city full of life, and you wandered away from where life is really being found. Life is being found, this is where we find it as believers in Christ, in relationship with God, in relationship with his word, in relationship with his church, his people. That's where the inhabited city is for a believer, for any of God's people, that's where it is. That's where it is. I don't really think I have to explain that that's where it is. Do I have to go through scripture and prove that to you that that's where it is? All of us are learning that's where it is. It's not in the other things. Yes, there's things that we do, there's things that we like and all that, but the inhabited city where our hunger and thirst is fed of the soul, where our soul doesn't faint, our heart doesn't faint away from us, that we don't, that's where they're at. That's where it is. That's a relationship with God, his word, and his people. But what you do here is you found yourself in the desert, no food, no water for the soul. Maybe the flesh said, yes, this is food for me. But look at verse 6 and 7 and what he said. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by the straight way to go into an inhabited city. So we cried out to the one who redeems, the one who delivers you from sin, who rescues you from the distress and leads you in a straight way to where life is. That's what the psalmist is saying. I can give testimony God's done that in my life. What an incredible thing that God would do that in my life. That he loves me that much, cares for me that way, doesn't want me in that place, wants to feed and nourish my soul, cares for me. It may take some time, it may take or will take a strong commitment to you to submit to him and you to obey his word, but you'll find a place where life is. It might be good to write something down where you would say, yeah, that happened to me here. That happened to me. That, Tony, you would say that happened this week, right? Give me an amen on that one. It happened to me this week. You know, you might write it down. You might put it down in there where God has been a God that has done that for you. He wandered, but the power of God in his loving kindness and grace, he's redeemed you out of that, brought you to the inhabited city where life is. I started to do it. And I want to be honest. I stopped at 10 or 12 because you soon recognize God is doing this in my life all the time. Whether it's an attitude, an action, I learned to seek him in any wandering. I don't want to go 6 months. I don't want to go a year. I won't even go any more than that before I repent. I don't want to. But I learned that. I pray that that continues in my life, that God keeps me from wandering, that I'm sensitive to that, and I don't wander away from that. Look at verse 8 and 9. Look what he has to say. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men, for he has satisfied this thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. He sure does, doesn't he? Right? He sure does. That's why it's a constant thing to give thanks to God's redeeming, rescuing love, kindness, and mercy in my life. For honestly, that's what my life is. That's what the Christian's life is a walk with the Lord. Confessing, repenting, changing directions, changing thinking. Now, what I want to say here is I don't want to give any excuses for wandering or any of these other things. There's reasons it happens, but there's really no excuse. But there's reasons it's happened. I don't want to make an excuse. I just want to give an honest testimony to the true life of the believer in confessing and repenting to God to get you out of sin's way of life so that you're on his. And that's what the psalmist is encouraging us in. That's what the Word of God is encouraging us in. Second picture of redemption, look at it with me. It starts in verse 10. It's the redemption for the rebellious. Listen to what he says. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in the ministry of chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Now, let me just simplify this, kind of give this in a simple way. You can really dig into all this and all the words, and I did that, this word means that, all that kind of stuff. But let me just tell you this. First, I want you to recognize that to those who live in sin's deception, that you're bound and you're tied, you're chained to it because you have rebelled against the Lord, or you've rebelled against his word, you spurned his counsel. Simply, this is what it is he's meaning. You hear God's truth, you read it, you understand it, you hear God's truth preached or taught, and you let it go. You ignore it. You walk by it. God's truth, God's way, it's no big deal. I'm okay with the way I am. No response to conviction. That's rebellion in the word being used here. That's to devalue, spurn God's word. So you want to recognize the verse of the truth of verse 12. Look what he says. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. What happens in that is when you're not responding to God's word, that he's encouraging you here and there in his word as we preach Sunday or it's taught in Sunday school where God is talking about our thoughts or our actions or our heart or loving him or who he is and who we are, whatever that is. What happens in life is the work it is to get through life. The work it is to try to just find any joy or contentment or peace or hope or purpose or meaning. And what the psalmist is saying, you stumble in all of that. And you find no help in the world. There is no help in the world. It's not in the world to help you find the joy, the peace, the contentment, the purpose, the meaning of life. The things that God wants us to have, it's not in them. And when you just kind of let God's word go, when you just like, you know, that was good, you know, or whatever that was, you just kind of walk on by that. What happens is you don't have any resource. You have nothing in the bank. You have nothing that's going on in your heart and mind that where when the things of life happen, that you find the truth of God's word, the truth of who God is, the truth of what he did in your life, the mercy that you received, all those things that help us, the path of life that we're to walk, where you're just fighting as labor to try to find joy, purpose, meaning, contentment, and hope. Although you seek it in the selfish, worldly ways, it's not there. That's what the psalmist is saying. Recognize that this no help in this world, this labor, is just God's loving kindness upon your life and his love for you. Recognize that. Why would he want you to find hope and peace and joy and contentment in this temporal, fallen world? Why would he want you to find it there? Then you don't need him. And then your testimony isn't people don't really need the Lord. They need stuff. They need success, things, order. Get everything in order. Get it right. Get enough stuff. That's not God. For God absolutely knows that if you defy his authority in your life, if you rise up in pride and arrogance to God's word, to God's counsel, and devalue or reject it, that it will not go well with you. Sin, self-gratification will lead your life and will make your choices. I've been there. The God of redemption doesn't want me to stay there. I want you to don't turn there, just listen to Proverbs 1:25 and following. Here, Solomon is speaking about God's wisdom, God's word, or the wisdom of God's word, and he says this, "And you neglected all my counsel of God's word, of God's wisdom, and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, wisdom will. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." That's rebellion, isn't it? "They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof, so they will eat of the fruit of their own way and be satisfied with their own devices, for their waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Verse 33, "But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." Listen to me, and they shall live securely. That word listen there, in the regular, in what that means is that you listen, you respond. It means how you hear. And I've illustrated this before, and I'll do it again. Whoever hears my voice right now, raise your right hand. Go ahead and put it down. He who did not raise your right hand, you did not listen to me. Whatever in your heart, I'm not raising my hand. Whatever in your thoughts, I don't need to do that. Whatever it is, you didn't listen. Because God's word speaks to our lives about, I want you to go this way, and this is the way of life, this is the way of that. Well, I listened, I heard it. You didn't, if you didn't respond to it. It's called rebellion. And that's what God is addressing here, and that doesn't help you. Now, God does not want that of Psalm or Proverbs 1 in our life. But out of his love for us, he'll allow it. So we'll turn to him. Now back to Psalm 107. Look what the psalmist says. In verse 13 and 14, he says this. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart." Pride is the main sin here. It's what he's talking about that brings you to reject God's truth, to devalue God's authority. Pride and sin's deception go hand in hand, and all you and we all need for him to rescue us from pride, right? To confess our sins, to repent, call upon him. He breaks the chains of an arrogant and prideful heart to devalue God's word. Look at verse 15 and 16. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men, for he shattered the gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder." again, here you are again. It's a constant deal, always, that we're repenting. And by now you're seeing that the picture that's are here are pictures of sanctification also, aren't they? Because sanctification is God revealing to us the things in our life that we've strayed away or that we've rebelled against or we're suffering in sin or we're being earthly in, and God having us recognize that in our life, calling upon Him, drawing near to Him, and Him redeeming, rescuing us, delivering from the things, changing our life. It's the life of the believer. It's the way of God at work in our life to bring you to growth, to live like Christ, to be Christ-like. He began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, Tony was encouraged, son. He will complete it because He started it. This is what He's doing in our life, each and everything going on. This is what He wants to do. And so we're getting really encouraged in all of this. Third picture, moving along, the picture of redemption, a picture for those suffering in sin. Look at verse 17 and 18. And I'm not staying here too long and explaining everything in here, but we're grabbing the picture. We're grabbing the point of God's word, aren't we? Are we not, you guys? And it should be encouraging us because we all owned up at the beginning here that this is what God's doing in each and one of our lives. And there's always the thing in there, so let them praise the Lord or let them give thanks. It's because this is what God's doing in each of our lives, and the heart of gratitude is what comes out of it. So this one is a picture of redemption for those suffering in sin. Look at what it says. 17 and 18, fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. For their soul abhorred all kinds of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Simply, the rebellious way is, in the Hebrew, is the sinful way, and it really means transgression. So it's the way of transgression against God. You can put it this way. The practice of sin is the idea. Fools in their practice of sin and their iniquities, that word is in their depravity and their perversion and choosing to act contrary to the will of God. Okay, so they're practicing sin, choosing to act willfully and contrary to the will of God, were afflicted. That means they were disturbed, dejected, oppressed, being in the state of anxiety or distress or severe emotional distress or physical sickness. Physical sickness mostly in the text because of what it says next, but the verb tense here says this, super afflicted. I hope you like that one, right? Suffering in sin with spiritual or emotional or physical distress because you choose to act contrary to God's will and practice sin. Now you're living in the consequences of sin. We all remember David in his Psalm 32. Because it sounds just like it. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was drained away, and with the fever of heat and summer. Simply what it is Galatians 6:8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. Now, don't take that your suffering or your affliction or your anxiety or your emotional thing is all because of your sin. Don't say, okay, so I got this physical ailment, sin. I got this emotional distress, sin. It's not about that. This in this text, it is, and what it's talking about, because it's not always about sin. Whether it's emotional or physical distress, let me just give you a little testimony. For over five years, I've been dealing with a pain right here in my side. Occasionally, we call it an episode. It's taken to me to the emergency room 4 times. I can't deal with it any longer. It's too strong, too painful. I got to get in there. They got to do something about it. Right? And it comes up occasionally. I've been to all the doctors. There's been all kinds of blood tests, been all kinds of things, x-rays, views, all that kind of stuff. And somewhere in that process, I had to ask the Lord, hey, is there something in my life that this is happening in my life because you're wanting me to call upon you and seek you because this is something in my life that you're using that to draw me to a place in my life where I'm practicing something that you don't want in my life? I do the same when I'm in anxiety and or emotional stress. I do the same when it just doesn't seem like things are being held together, but God affirmed to me that this was not because of sin, but because of the sinful fallen world, your body will suffer. But let me ask you, if it was from sin, what do? You seek redemption, don't you? Look at verse 19 through 22. Look what he said. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them. and delivered them from their destruction. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Same pattern. Confess, repent. God leads, guides, rescues, delivers. You're grateful for his love, mercy, and kindness, his power to do what you could not do without him. And you gave sacrifice of praise, joyful singing. Do you know why some people sing so loud and from the heart with total joy during our worship time when we're singing to the Lord? Do you know why some people just lift, they're just full of joy? This right here. Because the God of redemption is alive in their life, and they've seen God rescue them and deliver them and change their life and do the things in there. Sometimes it might even be a daily occurrence. And then when you get an opportunity to just praise the Lord and thank him with joyful singing, you just do it because you recognize this is who God is to you and what he's done. And God wants that in all of our lives. This is part of worship. This is part of coming and gathering and lifting our voice. Thank you, Josh, for encouraging us again to that today. From the heart, from the inside out, to say, you know, Lord, outside things in the world, there's a lot of hard things going on, but I know what you've done for me in my life as a God that is a God of redemption. And how many places have you got me out of where I didn't need to be in? Always for your glory, God, for me to be Christ-like, but it just keeps turning out to be for my good. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing for joy. Fourth picture, the picture of redemption for the worldly. Look at verse 23 through 27. Here the psalmist writes, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on the great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he spoke and raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wit's end. Simply, let me gather that for you. It's a picture of people just going about their life living for the world. They go down to where the thing's going on. They go down to the ship. They go to do great business. They've looked in this world, and they've seen the mighty hand of God. They've seen the sovereignty of God. They've seen that God's plan and purpose. They see it going on. They see it happening all the time, but they're just, their soul melted away in misery. They reeled and staggered like drunkard men. They were at their wit's end. From the world, they recognize that God is all that is power and sovereignty rules over all, and you're just here to do your worldly business. Your soul melts away, and you stagger around and living God's way. You're like you're drunk. That's what he's talking about. And where it says where they're at wit's end is that all their wisdom was swallowed up. That's what it's kind of talking about. All their wisdom from God is swallowed up. You are at your wit's end on what it's all about. It's worldly. You see this in the church today. You see it prevalent in the church today because what's happening in America. You see that their comfort has been changed, what's been going on. We're all stretched. We're all, in a sense, distressed by what's happening in our world. But you see the worldly way that our comfort in the world is decaying rapidly, and we want God to restore it. He might. God wants to lead us to repentance from being worldly. He wants to rescue us from making life about the earthly world. That's what he wants. He might restore it all. You know, it might all change. People may come to the Lord. It may just be incredible what God has allowed to happen in 6 months, incredible what God could do in 6 months. But thank you, Ken, for encouraging us in that truth. And what he wants is our repentance from our hearts and minds being living in a worldly way, recognizing that God is sovereign over it all, but we just want him to make it all right for us. It's interesting that that happens in our life, that the world, the flesh, the devil almost demand your attention, fame, popular, fun, earthly enjoyment, getting all that you can out of this life becomes the important way, the way of life that we want God to bring about. God says much about that in his word. I won't dig into that. But what happens is you stagger and God's way for you in life with God is a storm. The wisdom from God is on what to do seems lost. You're living worldly. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 28 through 30. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distress. He caused the storm to be still, that the waves of the sea were hushed. And then they were glad because they were quiet. And so he guided them to their desired haven. At this point, you ought to just kind of be overwhelmed with gratitude that God's a redeeming God. I mean, you just keep reading this, and you just keep reading this, and you just keep listening. It's like, wow, that's all he did was cry out to the Lord. It was an honest cry. It was a heartfelt cry. It wasn't a duty cry. It wasn't, okay, here's the system. If you just do this, God gets this for you. It wasn't that. It was like, whoa, Lord, this is who I am. I want this out. I want to change. And the God of redemption redeems. If you're here today and you really know no part of this in your life, this isn't your life. You don't know this. God desires it for you to know it. How you know it is you come into this kind of relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Christ gave his life to redeem you from being the only kind of life you know, just wandering around, rebelling against God's word, to suffering sin's consequences, to just being worldly. And basically what it says, you are enslaved to that apart from faith in Christ, in the word of God. You are bound to it, chained to it. You can't get yourself out of it, never will. Doesn't matter how things go, doesn't matter what happens. It's only through faith in Christ that you are released from this, that you're saved, redeemed from the slavery of sin. Jesus lived a sinless life, was crucified to pay the penalty of sin, was raised from the dead to give you new life. You put your faith in him and his work, believe, trust, surrender your life to him. God redeems you from the pit of hell and crowns you with his loving kindness and compassion. Amen, right? That's happened in every believer's life. And this redemption continues in every believer's life of these things that God wants us out of. So I really urge you or beg you, if you don't know this life, to put your faith in Christ today. For some of us right now, we need to cry out to the Lord for his rescue, for we are his people and the children of God, and we're caught where we do not belong. I want you to hear me now. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment from us. There's no, any of that. We just want to rejoice with the Lord that he redeemed you on where you were caught. Because we're all in that same boat. He has me. He has you. He will me. He will you. And it's a strong testimony to the salvation that is in Christ that as we walk with the Lord and we get to places that we should not be, that we cry out to him, we confess and repent, and we change direction and change our mind, and God redeems. And then the heart of gratitude comes for his wonderful acts, his wonders, that by his divine power, he brought about what we could not do. And we all rejoice over that. Sometimes in the church, sometimes in the body of Christ, sometimes in our lives, what we have a tendency to do is we don't want people to see who we are. I get it. I don't want you to see all my warts, all the things that are there. I'd rather rejoice in how God rescued you than to dwell on that you needed rescued. I think all of us are the same boat. And any of us that have the negativity or the wrong view of that, we need rescued out of an arrogant or prideful heart. For all of us, we are to be grateful for God, a God who redeems. Look at verse 31, 32. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. We have a closing song today. We're going to get an opportunity to sing for joy from our heart, to praise him because God is the God of redemption. You could think about the redemption that you found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when he reconciled you back to God, redeemed your life from the pit, when He bought you back, paid the purchase price it was on the cross. It can be that just that this week, how God has rescued you, delivered you from something in your heart and mind of attitude or actions or those kind of things, or any of these four that we're talking about. Maybe it's a time to cry out for him to rescue and redeem us from these things. So let's go ahead and stand together, and we'll sing, and then we'll close with prayer afterwards.
Oh, the mercy of God.
As we close here, I want to read the rest of Psalm 107. The psalmist goes on to write, "He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water and the dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell so that they may be established. They may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also, he blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction and makes his families like a flock The upright see it and are glad, but all the unrighteous shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Let's pray. So what we've been doing, Lord, the whole time here is considering your loving kindness. Your mercy toward us, your love toward us, your kindness to lead us to repentance. As we consider that, let our hearts be grateful. Let them be thankful. For you're the God of redemption. Ultimately, Lord, that's why we're here, is to encourage people to see the truth of your word, that salvation and redemption is found in Jesus Christ. And that redemption is going on in our lives as we live today. As the psalmist says in Psalm 103 at the end, let your loving kindness be upon us. It is, as we have hoped in you. So we thank you and praise you for this day. In Christ's name, amen.